But if you recall, we started a series through Ecclesiastes, and the intent here is not to go through the entire book verse by verse. But I do want to look at some passages that I think are really profound. We looked at four worldviews last time. I'm not going to go over these by each point, but I do want you to just take a look here on the screen, just as a recap, because I think this is important when we're getting started. This is from a website that I was researching. I looked at many different websites. I like this one the most. I put it down there. I don't expect you to be able to read that. I can hardly read it from right here. But if you do want to know where I got this information from, I'm more than happy to give it to you because it's very, I got it. It's very simple. There's a lot of good information on there. It's a good read. But if we look at the four most common worldviews, and this is how people look at the world, this is how they interpret their relationships, their purpose, all these different things, you have four. The atheistic materialism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and New Age thinking. That's all wrapped into New Age right now, especially as we're moving away from religious identification and more towards self. New Age fits that mold better. You have the third one here, which is the most prominent here in the United States, which is postmodernism. Even people who identify as Christians are really Christians with a postmodern lean. And then, of course, you have Christianity. So just a highlight here, atheist materialism basically believes the material universe is what is real. What you can touch and possess, those things are real. And then you see the rest of those points here. This is actually going out of style. Believe it or not, this is going out of style. People are looking more for purpose and identity. You can see that with the number one social media app right now, TikTok, which is spying on Americans. If you're interested in that app, it's developed by China. They're collecting that data. There is nothing good on that site. Nothing. Maybe the Bible Line account, but we don't even post there anymore because it's just a bunch of junk. But a lot of things are shown through social media about where people are. And atheistic materialism is going away. A lot of people are going towards you are God. You're the God in your life. And so the most important thing here too, besides the first point, is the last point here. History has no ultimate purpose. And therefore, that leads into New Age thinking, which is still prominent. Everything is God. This is pantheism. The tree is God. The breeze is God. The dirt is God. The little worm is God. It's all God. And we're just trying to figure out how we get back to that one God. This is the idea that says all roads lead to heaven. Isn't it interesting that that's the popular phrase? And Jesus said, the way to heaven is narrow. There's actually only one way, and it's through him. There is no right or wrong religiously within the New Age thinking. Truth is attained by withdrawal from the world. This is why if you study the life of a monk, even Catholic priests to an extent separate themselves from the world. And you see how that goes. But it's important to see here that they don't really look at sin as a error. It's just kind of like ignorance for the natural reality of the world. History also has little meaning. Postmodernism here, the phrase I want you to look at is this one right here. There is no absolute truth. I know has been replaced with I feel. All moral values are relative. What I think is right is what I think is right. Therefore, you can't tell me what's wrong. This is how we have pride parades in the street where there's literally old men in their underwear doing unseemly things. And this is to celebrate a lifestyle. That's how we can get there where these things are sanctioned. Because who am I to say what's right for him? Because what's right for him is right for him, and that's all good. Well, when does it become something sick and unseemly is right for that person? Heads up, it's coming. These things are just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse until we get to the point where there are no boundaries. There is no right or wrong. It's just whatever you want to do for yourself. High tolerance is encouraged, except when a person heavily emphasizes truth. If you want to stand up for truth, you are the problem. You're the problem. You're not a part of the solution. Because I already know what my truth is. It's whatever I define it to be. Why do I need you to tell me what truth is? We're going quickly here, but I just want you to see, is this not where we are today? This is like a roadmap. Last thing I want you to see about postmodernism is history is important, but it needs to be rewritten. Of course, yes, we learn about these things in school, but everything has been whitewashed. That's the current trend right now, the current word. And you need to relearn. Because what really happened is either unknowable or unimportant. And like I said, 2 plus 2 is 4. That's about as complex as it's going to get for me. How are we going to rewrite history if you know that it's wrong, but we ultimately don't know what it's about? I'm not signing up for that. That doesn't make sense to me. You're going to rewrite it to what you want it to say. And then we have Christianity. We're not going to cover this one because we're living in it. We get to understand all of our information is informed from the Bible, which introduces us to God, that he is the agent of creation, that all these different things, like sin, affects our ability to think clearly, and especially regarding truth and spiritual matters. That's how we get the first three worldviews. It's because of sin. And then, of course, here, humans exist beyond death, either in a relationship with God or without him, depending on one choice made regarding the individual's sin. This is important because this key right here is where Ecclesiastes is written from. Ecclesiastes is written from the perspective of without God, it's all insignificant. Not meaningless, because there is meaning to what we do, but in the grand scheme of things, it's insignificant. The value is very little. And we're going to look at that, especially as we get into our scripture. Okay, grab your Bible. And I want you to go to page number 696. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to look at the first three verses tonight. Okay, as you're getting there, just keep turning there. I'm going to read you some things. Just a quick rundown on the book. It's written by Solomon, and he calls himself here the preacher. And the Hebrew word, which I thought just sounded really cool, is Koheleth. Koheleth. That sounds really cool if your title was janitor or if your title was computer technician. That's cool, but Koheleth is cooler. This sounds neat. And this, he is the preacher. He is the teacher here. And many people, as the second point discusses, believe that this is his third book that he wrote. Okay, we've got Psalms, we've got Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and then we have Ecclesiastes. And this is important to recognize. This is probably at the end of his life, after he has been able to zoom out. And folks, it didn't end well for Solomon. It did not end well for him. Had all the wisdom in the world, but he was concerned about everything under the sun. Does that sound familiar? Under the sun? You're going to see that perspective quite a bit throughout the entire book. And it's important to realize here that this is the close of everything that he's seen. It's like, you know what? You can attain all that you can attain, and that's all you've got. And when you die, you're not taking any of it with you. Very depressing book without the light of God and a purpose above the sun. There is a difference there, and you're going to see that, especially when we get to the 12th chapter. It helps the reader develop a God-centered worldview and recognize the dangers of a self-centered worldview. It's a book of Hebrew poetry, so there are very large phrases, things that if you take way too literally, you're going to see, oh, that's a contradiction. Like, for example, there's nothing new under the sun. Is that to say that the iPhone existed at one point? That's not what he's saying. We'll see in a couple of weeks when we get to that passage what he means by that. But there's a lot of wisdom literature, and it's designed to teach the reader. This is not for you to say, what about this? This is for you to listen from a man of wisdom and perspective, I believe inspired by the Holy Spirit, teach what he has learned. And he has made serious mistakes, and we are to sit there, and as it says in Proverbs, the beginning of a fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fool rejects it. The wise one closes his mouth and listens. And then it exposes the error of contemporary man's ways. All their designs, their plans, their high thinking, it's all exposed as insignificant. Insignificant if there is no God. If there is no purpose besides what's under the sun. Okay, going to look at these two verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, page 696. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We ought to know what that phrase means. It's mentioned over 10 times in this book alone. Vanity of vanities, or all is vanity. What does he mean here? So I put the Hebrew word up here for you. It is said, hebel. Say that with me. Ready? Hebel. 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 And this means vain or vanity. And look, you got the Hebrew word right there. Now, you'd think you'd read it this way, but you actually read it this way. Pretty cool. This is what that word means. Let's take a look at it, because we ought to understand that if it's the hallmark, The beginning of the book, Ecclesiastes 1:1, starts with this phrase. And all the way to chapter 12 and verse 8, that's not the end of the book, it's the last chapter, but it also says right there, it kind of encapsulates, all is vanity, all is vain. What does this word mean? It's the Hebrew word for vanity or vain, and it specifically means emptiness or vanity, unsatisfactory. Note here, it doesn't mean meaningless. It doesn't mean that everything we do is meaningless, because then that would mean everything we did not have a consequence. Okay? That's not true. But in the scope of things, it's empty. It doesn't hold much water. Best understood as lacking real substance. This is a Lay's bag of chips, folks. You open it and it's 80% air. I thought that was a good illustration. Lacking real substance, lacking any real value or permanence. This is interesting. The word that a lot of commentators use here is it's transitory, which means it's temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. My favorite description here is significance. It lacks any real significance. Don't you want to be a person that does significant things? I'm not saying you get significant recognition, but you do significant things, things of great value. This is why people strive to be philanthropists. They try to do things that help humans out. This is why you have agencies that, for example, I've seen so many businesses come and go on that show, Shark Tank, where they, for everything that they sell, they also donate a pair. I know there's a sock company that does that. There was a clothing company that did that, and they were to build great things in third world countries like schools and get clean water and all this stuff. And that's all good, but it's temporary. What does it really actually amount to? Well, Jesse, that doesn't make me feel good. This is life without God. The well runs dry. The school needs repairs. You'll see a description here in a minute that's like, that's true. But it just there's nothing actually significant to be done here on this planet because you're going to die. And the thing that you've built will fall away. The second law of thermodynamics is still a thing. When I went to my doctor, she didn't say, wow, you're getting younger. No, I'm getting older, and so are you. Good illustrations of things we can understand when we look at this definition of vanity or vain. Vapor, breath-like. You ever been out in the cold? Floridians, by the way, that means anything below 60. All right, right around there, it's like, whoa, this is... Get the kids out of school, you know what I'm saying? Like, start the car early, got to thaw everything. Just kidding. But you know, when it's cold outside and you breathe, and us Floridians were like, wow, that's so cool. At least it is for me. But literally, it's here and then it's gone. It's gone. You can't catch it. You can't bottle it and keep it. It's there. Now look at this. These are descriptions from the New Testament that teach the same thing that we see from Ecclesiastes. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Psalms 144 in verse 4 says this. This is a profound verse. It's very true. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. 1 Peter 1 verse 24 says, for all flesh, our bodies, the things that we live and express ourselves in, is as grass. And the glory and all the glory of man, everything that man can accomplish, all the beauty, all the refinements, the muscles that can be built, the greatest health that you can be in, everything that you can do to this body here is as the flower of the grass. You ever seen a pretty flower? I tell you all the time, you want to see a plant die? Bring it to my house. It's not going to live. But for a little bit, it's got a nice little bud on there. Looks so pretty. But then guess what? The grass, look what the verse says, withereth. The flower thereof falls away. Even if you maintain that thing to the best of its ability, it only has a season, and then it's gone. Boy, this is encouraging tonight. But this is what the world is. This is how things go. Look at this description here. I found this in the commentary that I was studying. You think you have all the dishes washed, And from a bedroom or a bathroom, there appears, as from a ghost, another dirty glass. Now, not in my house. We don't bring that kind of stuff into the bedroom or into the bathroom, but I don't know. And even when all the dishes are washed, it is only a few hours until they demand washing again. And folks, even if you have a dishwasher, it needs to be loaded and unloaded. Isn't it funny? Follow me here. Isn't it funny that we try so hard to put products in our home to take away that kind of element? We have things that sweep and vacuum the floor for us. We have things that will set the temperature before we get home so that we don't have to. But even at some point, all that stuff doesn't do what it was supposed to do. We're trying to just make life, take the burdens away of like maintaining things. You know what I'm saying? Demands washing again. So much of our work is cyclical, and so much of it is futile. You get that house perfectly clean. You get everything looking good. And even if you try your best to keep it nice, that dust is still going to be there. You want to get rid of the dust in your house? You die. And even then, there's dust that'll get in. We have a little porch. I like keeping that thing clean. I like sweeping all the stuff out. It is so tough sometimes to sweep one day before the guys come to cut the grass. I live in an HOA. Our little piece of grass is like a strip as big as the pulpit here. But they seem to get all of the debris into my porch. And I guess what? I got to do it today. Sweep, sweep, sweep. Sweep, sweep, sweep. That's how this life is. Repetitive, over and over and over and over. You know the one thing that's guaranteed? The next health crisis for you. Things are just going to keep going and going, and all of it's futile. It has no purpose. Look at the third verse, and this is where we'll park it tonight. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What profit hath a man of all of his work that he takes here on the earth? A life with God is cyclical, temporary, and insignificant. And I just want to show you this quote here. Now, this author, not sure about what he necessarily believes. It seems to indicate that he doesn't even know if Solomon wrote the book. But he makes a very good point here. This man, Koheleth, has been living through all these experiences under the sun. Is that correct about Solomon? God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you that. And I'm going to give you that to the utmost, and I'm going to give you wealth, and I'm going to give you security, I'm going to give you knowledge, you're going to be able to know, and people came from all over to get, what would Solomon do? You remember his first major situation? The two ladies, one had a child, the other had a child, one of them killed the child that she had and then stole the child of the other lady and said, this is my baby, she took my baby. And Solomon, in his great wisdom, said, let's cut it in half. You get one half and you get the other. Okay. But guess what? The woman whose child it really was able to be found in that pattern. And many people are like, wow, this guy's pretty smart. And then all of a sudden, all the people are coming to him. But you know how he ended his life? He took down all the altars that were made for Jehovah. And because he had hundreds of wives and concubines, they altered his mind from the truth. And he took down all those altars for Jehovah, and he built up groves to Chemosh, Ashtaroth, these gods that demanded child sacrifices, temple prostitution. How did it end up that way? Concerned with everything here. Had been living through all these experiences under the sun, concerned with nothing above the sun, on the modern level of experience in the realm of material, until there came a moment in which he had seen the whole of life. That's a profound statement. Until there was a moment until you can see the whole purpose of this life. All the money that you can get, all the security that you can build up, all the provisions that you can make, they're gonna go. It's gonna be gone, and so are you. But we are so zoomed in, we can't see everything else around us. And there was something, as this commentator suggests here, He was able to zoom out, see the whole of life, and there was something over the sun. This is the profound statement that I couldn't leave the rest of it out before we got to this. It is only as a man takes account of that which is over the sun, as well as that which is under the sun, that things under the sun are seen in their true life. Insignificant. Insignificant. Of no great concern. Now, next week, I want you to, we're going to finish the rest of these verses. We're not going to go into each one. I'll explain a little bit. But then we're going to look at the New Testament counterpart. Because I just showed you, bear with me for a moment here. This is New Testament verse, New Testament verse. So still, these guys understood that life is temporary and fleeting, and the best that we can do is just going to be death anyway. So they didn't move past this. We can't look at Ecclesiastes and say, oh, it's too dark. That shouldn't be in the Bible. It doesn't make me feel that good. Well, if you understand the perspective in which it's being written, it makes sense. Are you following me here? Boy, I wish we had more time. I really, really do. But I think that's a good place to stop. So next week, we'll get into this more. And you know, you have people in your life that are in the rat race. They are just trying their very, very best. They're just trying their very, very best to become the best version of themselves that they can be. And you will, if you stay with them long enough, if you hang around long enough, you will see a crack in that armor where they are revealing on the inside, I don't know why I'm doing these things. I'm doing these things because I don't know what else to do. Because of what Jesus did for every single sinner on this planet, you and I can wake up and say, I have eternity to look forward to. Do you realize how valuable that is? Even if all of your bills were paid for the rest of your life, like most of those Hollywood elites are living right now, they're still lacking any value. They say, what is it all? Money and money and money, houses and houses and houses, cars and cars, and whatever you want, snap your fingers and it's there. Life is still proving itself to be insignificant. This is why you can understand why the richest man in the world wants to find a way to transfer us into some virtual digital world where we can just do everything we want by ourselves. Because guess what? In their eyes, God's creation doesn't cut it. Yeah, because you've cut God out. That's why. And so the gospel message dovetails perfectly into this. You and I here represented as a sinner, this representing our sin, this representing Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you're not going to perish. Vanity of vanities now no longer applies to you. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have an eternal relationship with God, a positional standing, a declaration, justified. You've got a life now which you can live with great purpose. And it's all because of the goodness of the gospel. Isn't that great? Backflip time. If I could do it, I would, folks. It's so good to know that there's something beyond this little blue rock that we're on. I was listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson, or whatever that guy's name, I don't know. He is so full of himself. Making jokes, doing all these different things, just making a mockery of God. I finally got a clip of him saying, I don't know what is the purpose of this life. Based on what he believes, his worldview, what is the purpose? You are a speck on a speck of a speck. A nothing. A zero. What's it all worth? Even the great Neil Tyson sits at home and goes, what's it all about? Folks, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, you have new life. And that's the greatest news in all the world, is it not? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. For those watching on the internet, maybe it's the first time you've tuned in. I hope you understand the gospel. I hope it makes sense to you. And if you would you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that his death, burial, and resurrection paid for all of your sin? The moment that you do, the Bible says you're passed from death unto life. You'll never be brought into condemnation again. Never, ever. It's a great truth. Right where you're sitting, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, the truths that are taught in Ecclesiastes sometimes can be very very disheartening, but I pray that we can remember all that we have in Jesus Christ and all the opportunities that we have to bring people who are caught in this under-the-sun perspective and see there is something outside of this sun. In his name is Jesus Christ. We pray these things.